This past week, I heard a very interesting report regarding the New York Jets. The New York Jets, it appears, after having waited quite a few years, there's a very strong chance that the Jets will make the playoffs, the NFL football playoffs this year. And in anticipation, very excitedly, the front office for the New York Jets sent out, in a state of excitement, they sent out a letter to all of the regular season ticket holders explaining to them how anxious they are and how they anticipate looking forward to having the Jets make the playoffs this season. And in such anticipation, they asked their season ticket holders, they said they want to give them the first chance to purchase tickets for the playoffs. And so they sent them the prices for three possible home games. Those three games would include the first level of the playoffs called the wild card, which may be held in New York. Then the second stage of the playoff game, which may be held in New York. And the third stage, which would be the AFC Championship game to get into the Super Bowl, Haba Aleinu Litova, which would also be held in New York. But what the Jets front office didn't realize was that if a team makes the wild card, that means that they're actually on the lowest level of entry into the playoffs, which means that the only home game they could host is the wild card game. But after they move on, if they win, they play away. They do not play at home, but rather they play as visitors. And so the Jets front office, in this excitement, enthralled by anticipating that their team, the New York Jets, would make the playoffs, made a big fashla, a major mistake in sending out this posting, because it's impossible for season ticket holders to purchase three playoff home games. The greatest possibility would, at the very least, be to purchase two, but certainly not three. And I thought about it, and they were joking about it on SportsCenter, and it was very interesting and humorous. But from a Jewish perspective, perhaps it's not such a bad thing to think in such a fashion. If we look from a Jewish perspective, we look at it to be very good to have dreams and aspirations, to anticipate, to look forward, and to be certainly goal-oriented in a sense that you have a vision of what you'd like to accomplish in your life. However, at the same time, we also recognize that these visions have to be coupled and have to be joined or enjoined together with a sense of reality and relevance. Yaakov Avinu represents perhaps the icon or the supreme model of someone who maintains a fine balance between being a dreamer and at the same time dealing with reality, maintaining this existence as a realist. Rav Yaakov Ariel, I saw interestingly enough in last week's Parsha, on the dream that Yaakov has, in which he establishes the fact that he indeed is the dreamer. V'hinei sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia hashamayma, v'hinei malachei Elohim olim v'yordim bo. This ladder that begins in the earth below and ascends to Shamayim, to the heavens above. The malachim, the angels, which again ascend and descend the ladder up and down. Rav Yaakov Ariel explains that perhaps this is a figurative describing Yaakov Avinu's personality. The Shamayim, the heavens above, represent the dreams, the goals that we set for ourselves. But at the end of the day, a person perhaps looks back in retrospect and says to himself that I had so many things that I had planned to do, so many things that I would have liked to accomplish. But then he realizes that perhaps many of them did not come to fruition. In other words, reality sets in. The Aretz, the land, is still very much in front of him. The Aretz, the land in which the ladder plants itself, represents the realist, the person who is practical, who is pragmatic. And what Yaakov Avinu represents to Am Yisrael is that both of these attributes, characteristics, Being a dreamer, having even lofty goals, is important. But at the same time, it has to be coupled with the idea of being a realist. Both are vital in sustaining both ourselves as well as our surroundings. And we learn this from Yaakov Avinu, our forefather. This concept reveals itself, in my understanding, and center stage in this week's Parsha of Vayishlach. There is a strange and unfortunate string of events that take place whereby Dina is abducted by Shechem, and unfortunately she is vilified, she is entered by Shechem, and indeed her name and her physical appearance is destroyed as such. And obviously the reaction of Yaakov and his sons, even Yaakov himself, obviously is very, very disturbed, very upset, very distraught. And we all know the story that follows, whereby Shimon and Levi take it upon themselves, they introduce themselves, Shechem says that he wants to marry Dina, he wants her to be his wife, and they explain that they cannot do so unless the entire city, under the auspices of Shechem, have to undergo a Brit Milah, circumcision. But what always bothered me, we all know that Shimon and Levi go in, and on the third day, when they are experiencing pain after having undergone the circumcision, Shimon and Levi, by their lonesomes, come and completely obliterate, destroy, they wipe out any sign of the entire city that Shechem controls. But what always troubled me about this, and I think it troubles obviously many commentators, and obviously it's a very difficult question to ponder, is that Yaakov's reaction to Shimon and Levi. He gets angry at them. In Perek Lamed Aleph, Psukim Lamed and Lamed Aleph, Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon vel Levi, Achavtem oti, Lahavisheni biyoshev haaretz biknani ubaprizi, you've embarrassed me, you've disgraced me. Vinishmarti ani ubeiti. As a result of your actions, there is a chance that my entire family can be wiped out. Shimon and Levi's reaction to Yaakov's tana, to Yaakov's complaint, vayomru, they say in unison, hachzona yaaseh et achotenu. Do you want our sister to be prostituted, to be desecrated in such a fashion? This is not acceptable. And the Torah does not reveal any reaction whatsoever by Yaakov Avinu. The questions are, why was Yaakov so disturbed with regards to what Shimon and Levi had done? One would think that he would praise them. Kol hakavod, you picked yourselves up. You would not tolerate this type of behavior towards your sister. You would not tolerate this desecration. Why is Yaakov so upset at what they do? And secondly, perhaps even more troubling, why is there no reaction from Yaakov regarding Dina? And there's no reaction from Yaakov when Shimon and Levi say, Hachzona yaaseh et achoteinu. Perhaps you would think that Yaakov is mekabel. He accepts this tana. He accepts their response. And he says, okay, you're right. You did the right thing. But we know that later on, Yaakov in Parshat Vayechi, when he offers, so to speak, a blessing to each one of his children, to Shimon and Levi, he is certainly not offering a blessing. At the very least, he is reprimanding them. And he says, Altavo Mikalash Mikali, you will not be part of my immediate parameters. So it appears that Yaakov did not agree with the response of Shimon and Levi. Why, over here in the context of this parsha, of these psukim, does the Torah not reveal to us any reaction whatsoever of Yaakov Avinu? At least to demonstrate that Yaakov did not agree. If we look at the psukim from the very onset of this entire episode in the Perek, we'll notice something very, very important. In Perek Lamed Dalid, Pasuk Tet, after the incident that takes place in which they desecrate Dina, Chamor and his father Shechem come to Yaakov and his sons. And they say, they propose, Vaydaber Chamor itam lemor. Chamor says, Shechem b'ni, my son Shechem would like to marry, would like to be with your daughter Dina. V'hitchanu otanu b'noteichem tidnu lanu v'et b'noteinu tikchu lachem. Let's all get married. Our sons will marry your daughters and vice versa. V'itanu teishevu. Sit with us. Dwell with us. Partner with us. V'ha'eretz tiyeh lifneichem shvu uscharua v'hiyachazuba. You can do business in our lands. It will be a very fructitious type of venture. This is what they propose. Shimon and Levi respond. Pasuk Yudalid. Vayomru aleihem. Lo nuchal la'asot hadavar hazeh. We cannot be part of this agreement. Latet et achoteinu le'ish asher lo orla. To give our sister to a man who is covered with a foreskin. Ki cherpa hi lanu. Because this would be degrading to us. Us, meaning Shimon and Levi. Ach bezot deot lachem, in tiyu kamonu limo lachem kol zachar. However, there is hope. If you decide to be like us, and to undergo a brit milah, the circumcision. Ach bezot pasuk chof bet, yeltu lanu anashim lashevet itanu liot la'am echad. In this particular way, will we allow men to be part of us in our one nation. Behimolanu kol zachar kasher hem nimolim. Shechem goes back, explain to his people that the only way we can be a part of this contract is if we too undergo a brit milah. How? Liyot ha'anashim, liyot la'am echad, to be part of one nation. Miknehem v'kinyanam v'chol behem tam pasuk chof gimel. It follows that therefore all of their livestock, all of their purchases, all of their possessions, halolanuhem, they will be part of us, we'll all share. Ach ne'otah lehem v'yeshvu itanu, they will sit with us. It's interesting, Rabotai. If you look closely, both at the entire discourse, the entire conversation and exchange, both in terms of the vernacular used by Shimon and Levi, as well as the lashon, the language used by Shechem and by Chamor, there is no mention. The first thing you have to notice is that there is no mention whatsoever of God, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you didn't notice that it does not talk or even mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this entire context, this is something that Yaakov Avinu very much did notice. The entire exchange, even when Shimon and Levi proposed to Shechem the idea that they can undergo a brit milah, they say, Ki cherpa hi lanu. This is degrading to us. They do not mention that this is degrading to us and our God, the Elohim Shelanu. No mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever. And perhaps it was tactful. Perhaps they realized that if they mentioned God, that the whole deal would be off. But nonetheless, this disturbs Yaakov. He says, they continue Shimon and Levi, Bezot ne'ot lachem, in tiyu kamonu liyot lachem kol zachar. And indeed, the message that Shechem gives back to his people is, we can be as one nation, we can sit together, we can enjoy each other's livestock. There is no mention whatsoever of religion, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of spirituality. We do not have to subscribe to their mitzvot. We do not have to believe in their one God, because Shimon and Levi make no mention whatsoever of this very crucial concept that should be so much alive and vibrant within any part of their conversation. There is no mention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps, Rabotai, this is precisely what disturbs Yaakov. Yaakov perhaps would agree with the strategy that they go out and that they wipe up the city and that they demand that they undergo a circumcision. They teach them a lesson in protecting the dignity of their sister Dina. However, even within a physical war, even within a physical battle, says Yaakov Avinu, there has to be included the context of an Elohim, of a God, who ultimately, Kochi v'otzem yodi osali es achayel azeh. No, lo b'chayel v'lo b'koach, ki im beruchi amar Hashem tzvaot. It is not with our physical hands, it is not with our brute strength, but rather by our subscription to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, listen to what happens. Yaakov's reaction is as such. Pasuk Lamed. Vayomer Yaakov el Shimon ve'el Levi. Achartem oti. What is achartem oti? Yaakov uses the most physical, materialistic description of degradation. Achartem literally means to be turbid, dredgy, to be foul. You have been or have acted foul with regards to your father. Yaakov chooses the most physical description possible because he wants to give them entry. He wants them to recognize that they are completely immersed in a physical, exclusively physical exchange, a physical existence. This is not acceptable. And therefore, even when Yaakov says or describes the repercussions of what results as a result of this entire episode, he talks about how his family will be disgraced. V'ani metei mispar, ne'esfu alai v'ikuni. My family will be wiped out, will be physically destroyed, will be conquered, conquested. This is what Yaakov demonstrates to his son Shimon and Levi. He doesn't even include the issue of spirituality. Why? Perhaps he wants Shimon and Levi to come to that recognition on their own. Please, he says to them, what ingredient am I missing in the reprimand that I am giving to you? Wake up! Realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spirituality is not part of this conversation. It is not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has not been included in this entire equation. And yet, Shimon and Levi respond, Vayomru in unison, Hachzona ya'aseh et achoteinu. Will our sister be degraded to prostitution, to becoming a prostitute? At that point, Yaakov realizes, my dear sons, Shimon and Levi, did not wake up and smell the coffee. They didn't include not only the degradation of their sister, Dina, but the terrible debasement and disgrace to the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that has happened here. They did not incorporate the spiritual consequences of what has taken place. And this Yaakov cannot accept. What is Yaakov's reaction? Indeed, my friends, in Perek Lamed Hei, there is Yaakov's reaction. Vayomer Elohim El Yaakov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters the picture. Kumalei Beit El v'shev sham. Yaakov says, of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'aseh sham mizbeach la'el anirei lecha. Give sacrifice to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Hashem to Yaakov. Yaakov reassures HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have not forgotten that you are the major part of this entire episode. Vayomer Yaakov el Beito. Yaakov immediately approaches his entire mishpacha, his entire foundation, his entire family. Vel kol asherimo, everyone who is with him. Hasiru et Elohei aneichar asher betochechem. Remove that which is soiled. Remove the avodah zarah, the idolatry, any hint, any tinge that might exist, that might be linked to the Avodah Zarah of Shechem, remove from yourselves. I'm not interested in the spoils of war. I'm not interested in the physical entities, materialism that you might have been able to amass as a result of this battle. Get rid of it. V'itaharu. Purify yourselves. V'achalifu simloteichem. V'nakuma v'na'ale beit el v'e'esesha mizbeach la'el. Oh yes, my friends, Yaakov has a reaction. Here Yaakov reveals to Shimon and Levi and his entire family, it is never acceptable not to incorporate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mizbeach, sacrifice, spirituality in every single step of our lives, including obstructions, obstacles, physical hardships, and physical battles. There must be included HaKadosh Baruch Hu in everything that we do. Let us return, he says, to our source, to Beit El, to the altar, to the Mizbeach itself, and offer the Korban, the sacrifice. Because ultimately, says Yaakov, that is who we are. Vayavo Yaakov Luza Asher Be'eretz Kenan Hi Beit El. Indeed, the Torah confirms, Yaakov and his family come and return to Beit El, Hu v'chol ha'am asher imo. They are not only returning physically to Beit El, they are returning with a complete new logistic, a complete new vision. They have been reinvigorated, they have been reincarnated with regards to the proper vision and outlook that they have to have. Vayiven sham mizbeach, vayikra lamakom el Beit El. Yaakov Avinu says, we can be realists. We can react with practicality. We can even call to arms. But it must be with the dream at the same time. It must be the Arza together with Rosho Magia Hashamayma, the tip, the vision, the up part, the ma'ala, that which we look above us. Our eyes must always be focused heavenwards towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore Yaakov says, Shir Hamalot Beshuv Hashem et Zion. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu return to Zion? Hayinu kecholmim. We dream. We dream not only within a reality, but the dream of spirituality. Interestingly enough, this is confirmed later on when the Torah instructs Bnei Yisrael and Moshe Rabbeinu to amass an army. Who is he instructed to take to call to arms? The Levim, Levi. One would think that Moshe should call together Shimon with Levi. They should be as one. Shimon and Levi are the strongest of forces. They are absolutely insurmountable in terms of their physical conquest, their physical prowess. No. The Chazal explained the reason why Shimon and Levi are not called together is because when they come together as one, as was demonstrated in this week's Parsha with Dina, theirs is purely a physical exchange of war. Bnei Yisrael's power is even when they are faced with physical confrontation. They have to learn to integrate the ruchniut. Even in the most obvious places of gashmiut, of materialism, one must learn to integrate and to incorporate the great benefits of spirituality. That is what ultimately provides us with sustenance. That's what allows us to exist against all odds. And ultimately, that incorporation of being a realist and a dreamer, of having the Aretz and Shamayim, will allow us all to proclaim and to witness the great day of Ve'alu Moshiyim Bahar Tzion Lishpot Et Harisav, Vehaita La Hashem Hamlucha. Shabbat Shalom.